Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins, and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
We like jumping into the film with Tim Jenkins. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. We're thrilled to be able to talk to him about a winning Bears playoff game. Tim also joins us via Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm fired up, like I'm sure everybody is over there.
Yeah, I think you put out that Bears video about 7 minutes after the game ended. What excited you about what you saw?
Yeah, I went for 1:30, too, which was a shocking amount of time to hear yourself talk, as my wife would say, highly enjoyable for myself. But I think what was most interesting, what my big takeaway was if the live TV shot would have been zoomed out, right? If we wouldn't have been the TV, you know how it's all zoomed in, nobody likes it. But if it was zoomed out and you could see all 22, I think when the Bears fell down big, we would have all felt a lot better because I actually think I keep calling it a fluke, and I hate that word. It's almost like the less probable outcomes happened consistently to the Bears to the negative on 3rd and 4th down early, which then I think led to obviously the huge deficit. Like, just think about on the same series, you get the Cole Kmet drop, which was it a drop? Was it a fumble that the Bears recovered for a first down? You'll never know, right? We ruled it a drop. Then we get the semi-bad snap that we have Luther Burden wide open on a shallow cross, and the ball gets batted down. That's 3rd and 4th down. Like two, you know, not really highly probable things happen in a row. And then that happened consistently for the first 3 quarters. And then all of a sudden the Bears come alive and it doesn't happen at all. And it happens in the opposite direction, the 4th and 8 that I'm sure we'll talk about where he's off the ground. Things like that consistently happen, then all of a sudden you make a run. So it was interesting because I actually thought we were going to see a lot of stuff early in that game where this offense struggled. And I tell you that I'm not sure I really walked away from the film seeing that. I more or less saw a bunch of opportunities that we didn't quite take advantage of with things that aren't even really coachable fixes. It's just our guys making a play, and it's the guys that have made a play most of the year. So to me, it's like I feel even better going into this game, I think, than I really thought I would diving into the tape.
Cannonballing into this tape, because that's what we all wanted you to do, because I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Tim on Tuesday. Tim, I'm going straight to the meat of the issue. Talk to me about 4th and 8. Talk to me about that completion and how difficult that was, and what does that say about Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean that play was a perfect illustration of everything we've always wondered if Caleb Williams could be at this level versus college. What I'll also say is actually pretty funny is, one of the, I can't remember if it was the center or the right guard, but a couple of our guys up front had a tough night. And again, it's, you know, we got some different looks and we did good at times, but we had a tough night. And I can't remember who it was, if it was the center or the right guard, but one of them turned somebody free, which then gets Caleb out of the pocket and then enables him to make that jump throw that we'll all never forget. However, if we would have just stuck on our guy, our outlet, Kmet, on that, or I don't know if it's Kmet or Loveland, on that route, on that concept, though, is wide open to the field. Caleb just gets bumped off the spot to where he can't get back to him. But if he hits him, it's the same result. It's like a 60-yard completion. He just can't get through his progression because of the pressure. And then that, I think that play is going to live on as, I don't know about you guys. Here's the deal. I've started covering the Bears, and I try to be like as objective as I can. But the more I cover them, the more I like love them and fall in love with them, fall in love with the fans.
Bears. Yeah.
Like, it's just like it's a gritty group of people that I just love. Well, so now my kids are Bears fans. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sitting there on Saturday night, and I feel like I try to stay pretty objective and pretty, like, you know, level. And it's like, I'm sitting there like, it's over. They suck. Like, it's, you know, I'm having all those same reactions. And then we make plays like that, and it's just, it's been awesome. Yeah, but that play right there is flat out incredible. That's why he's, you know, I see a bunch of people on Twitter being like, oh, you know, I don't think the scouting community got it right. It's like, dude, he was the first overall pick. So I don't know about that take. But, yeah, it was
best
it was
throw
awesome.
Of his career that you've seen?
Most impactful.
Okay.
Most impactful. Yeah. I think, you know, anytime both your feet are off the ground and you layer it in like that, it's up there. Is it the highest degree of difficulty, I think? I don't even know if it's the highest degree of difficulty that we've seen this season. That's what's crazy. But yeah, that's the biggest moment, I think. It's going to go down as one of the better throws in his entire career, no matter what happens from here, just because of what that moment means to win that game against the Packers at home after what they've been through. Like, that's, yeah, one of the most meaningful plays I think we'll see in a long time.
Sorry, Tim, if you saw me gesticulating wildly over here, but you are part of some breaking news right now. Breaking news is brought to you by the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer. After a historic 19-season run, this per Adam Schefter, Mike Tomlin just informed his team he is stepping down as the Steelers head coach. Sources tell Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, and me.
Wow.
19 years, and Mike Tomlin is no longer the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Consider my brain scrambled. I don't know about you, Tim, and I'm sorry to bust up what was really good football talk, but feel free to react with us if you like.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because last night I tweeted out, I was sitting there and I was watching Aaron Rodgers, and I know that, like, his personality and other things have, like, kind of made him more maybe divisive then, but I was watching him, and it was kind of like a good memory of, I remember watching vintage Rodgers, right? It was bad memories for Bears fans, but I remember watching vintage Rodgers. He was, like, one of the last guys, I think, from my childhood that I really, you know, you looked up to, and you were like, man, I, you know, want to do it like him, and then seeing him kind of go out was a bummer. And then you see Tomlin, who, you know, shoot, he's been a staple for so long. And I do think, I get it, right? I get it if you're the Steelers organization and trying to think, okay, hey, I want some new blood. I do think at times we've got to be cautious of, you know, the new blood. You know, it's not always good, right? I think we've seen that in Chicago in the past. But then you get Ben Johnson in there and you go, shoot, this is obviously a great play. So it's tough for me because I do have a lot of respect for these guys that have had a ton of success and continued success. I think obviously anytime you're consistently in the playoffs and then lose, whether fair or not fair, that consistency of being elite like starts to the expectations rise along with it. You know, it's always funny to me, right? So you get these guys like Harbaugh and Tomlin, and they get into the playoffs and they lose. And then next year, though, their replacement will come in and could not make the playoffs and they ain't getting fired, right? Like, it's such an interesting dynamic of the more success you have, the bigger the expectations are. And if you don't meet them, the guy after you is going to have less. You know, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be probably a vacuum, kind of like what we had at Alabama this year, I think, with DeBoer, to where the guy will get more chances, but simultaneously you're always getting kind of compared to the previous staff. So it'll be interesting to see who they get to come in there.
Yeah, it will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Mike Tomlin's next move. I mean, everybody just assuming it's going to be television, but I would imagine there's going to be a ton of teams that'll be knocking on his door. As we talk to Tim Jenkins, the founder of Jenkins Elite here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. And Tim, just getting back to the Bears game, so there was the 4th-and-8 throw to Roma Dunze. What about the 25-yarder to DJ Moore, the play that was set up, the bite on the screen, and just even DJ Moore, as he discussed with us around his locker, so it was hard to, like, with those bright lights out there, like a receiver looking up at those balls, like some of those are, you get your eyes stuck in that light, it's not easy.
Yeah, I love DJ. And here's the thing I like about DJ is he had the drop right before it, right? He had the scramble drop.
Yeah.
And then I pointed it out on the film breakdown, and, you know, he'd never going to tell the media, but you know dang well, if I'm in that locker room, I'm giving a hard time because he was going to body catch that no matter where that ball came in, right? He was going old school. That thing was going to hit his shoulder pads, and he was going to hold on to that thing like it was little giants no matter what happened. So, to me, here's the thing about DJ too. I have so much respect for how I feel like he competed last year and how I think he's competed throughout his career, even on teams that a lot of guys are packing it in and getting ready for vacation. Like, it feels like he's got a reverence for the game with his level of competition, no matter what, right? The appreciation for how much these tickets cost and people getting out there and what he owes it to the fans. For him to be the guy that has the drop, you know, your heart broke for him, but then for him to be the guy that then ends up catching it and essentially having two game winners against the Packers, I don't think there's a more deserving guy. So to me, that was awesome. The scheme, of course, you know, the tackle over aspect of it was great. To me, what I love, though, is just that it was set up from basically the first third and long, right? They throw the screen out there on the first third and long. It's a big conversion. I like Ben's instincts there to, okay, hey, you get a big play on fourth down, right? And the fourth down, it's funny because everybody's all juiced up about the scheme of the fake screen touchdown. What we're not juiced up enough about is, and I don't know if it was third or fourth down, but when we hit Swift in the flat,
yeah,
right, after DJ's scramble drop, we then hit Swift in the flat, but what nobody notices is that was on the quick cadence. So it's like we lined up, we're in basically like a wing set with Swift as a wing guy. We're making this linebacker who's used to playing run, navigate through traffic. He's in the midst of communicating, and we hit him with the turbo, and it's like, boom, ball snapped. Everybody doesn't even look like they're supposed to be ready. That's how that thing's supposed to look. And then your ball's out in the flat. Like, that to me was an elite level scheme. Like, I appreciate the shot play when you're on the fringe red to score. But like, to me, I'm always so in love when you find a third or fourth down, an easy pickup. Like, those kind of downs and distances as a play caller and a quarterback are such a grind. Trying to sort through who's the pressure look, what coverage are they in? When you can then steal a couple throughout the game based on just, you know, more or less like a get 'em play, right? Where it's like, hey, we're just going to quick cadence you when you think we're in the midst of one of our shifts and motions. Like, that to me is awesome. That's what I think gets me most excited. Of course, I love the fake screen touchdown and him going for the throat after a big play. But I do think we don't talk about that play enough where it was, man, the quick cadence, we have the right personnel out there. That was pretty. The other one's awesome. But to me, that third, fourth down was, I think, the better call, the better scheme.
This is all great stuff. We're talking to Tim Jenkins, our quarterback guru, here on Raheem Harrison Grody. And Tim, as a watcher of ball, a lover of offense, and somebody who's not only studying the Bears, but you also know a thing or two about offense and the rest of the NFL. Yeah, what do you think about the matchup between the Rams and the Bears just from a schematic standpoint and from an inspirational standpoint when it comes to how modern offenses are constructed? Like, I think this is it's fun if you really just like watching what the NFL has evolved into.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, team. I love you guys. I was hoping for a Philadelphia win. You know, like, I like Brock Purdy. I like San Francisco. I was hoping for a Philadelphia win because I feel like Philadelphia coming to Chicago, a little bit, I don't want to say easier, but I think a little bit easier.
Yes.
No, you can say it.
Yeah, we all think it, so that's fine.
Yeah, this team is scary. I mean, so here's the thing is, I think, you know, you sit there and you talk about Loveland. How are they going to game plan Loveland, right? I think it's a dynamic question. How are the Bears going to game plan Puka? Because you go watch the first three completions from Carolina, LA. Puka lines up in three different spots. He lines up in a tight split to start, easy completion. Then he lines up in a wing split where they motion him to fullback. They throw it out to him, easy completion. Then they line him up at tailback, and he runs Viper for a touchdown. Those are the first three plays. So to me, you sit there, because it's so easy to sit here and say, let's double Puka. It's like, good luck, dude. How are you going to double a guy that you have no idea where he's going to line up? Because it's like, what are you going to do? Just dedicate two defenders to him? Because to me, Colson Loveland presents the same argument, which is you don't know where these guys are going to line up. So it's like, okay, hey, yeah, okay, let's just follow two guys around Puka or Colston. Then you forget that, guess what? Ben Johnson and Sean McVay don't spend all offseason in Cabo sitting by the pool drinking, drawing up only pass plays. These dudes are drawing up run plays too, right? So you need the extra guys in the box. It's just, it's a fascinating game. I do think, like, I've said this, and I hate saying it, but I do think it's the truth. We have to figure out how to keep this thing tight, and it can't be slow our tempo down to keep them off the field. Like, I think that's playing to lose. We need to keep up with them. If this is a tight ball game down the stretch, I lean Bears. If you tell me, hey, Tim, somebody wins this game between 1 and 6 points, I think it's the Bears. If you tell me, hey, Tim, somebody won this game by 17, I hate saying it. I think it's the Rams. Like, I see them as the more lethal threat in a runaway game. However, if this Bears team sticks around, I think there's a lot of stuff to how they've been winning, and I think they can pull it out. I'm not going to sit here and lie. The Rams offense scares me to death. And, you know, Jordan Love, I think they were executing well. I don't think this Rams team is the Packers. I think the Packers are good on offense. I think this Rams team is much closer to San Francisco, and we saw how that went, where it was, we just need to keep up with them. There was going to be no second half where they go 3 and out 9 times, right? So that's just what scares me about this team. I don't know about you guys, but you watched the end of that Carolina game, and I feel like, you know, I hate advocating for sports betting, but I'm big on the live money lines right now. I felt like the Rams coming back to win that when they went plus money was the easiest bet I've ever made in my whole life. It looked like they were going routes on air, and it was to win a playoff game. Like, if that doesn't scare you into not playing soft coverage, I don't know what will. I think your game plan this week, if you're a defensive coordinator, has got to be, hey, high variability in our pressure looks. We're going to heat them up. Stafford very well could gash man coverage and our heat zone. But I'd rather live in the world in which he's gashing us under duress and we can potentially make a negative play, rather than, hey, we're going to play quarters and just let him essentially walk down the field. My thing is, if the Rams beat us, I want Stafford to be questionable next week. And I don't mean that in like a negative, like, let's hurt him. I mean it in a, you're getting after him within the whistle consistently. Like, that's what you have to, I think, go into this week. That has to be the game plan. If you're going to let him hit his back foot and you're going to play bend but don't break, I don't see a world in which we come out on the right side of it.
Hey, real quick, Tim, because you just said what you said. I think one of the ways they can do that is by running the football. You mentioned the Eagles and why they were a good matchup, because they were so dominant in the run game. Is there anything you're seeing with what's happening up front that makes you think that they can get back to running the football like they were earlier in the season? Because they only had 93 yards rushing against a Packers team that's pretty beat up.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at that, the Packers had a bunch of run fronts. What I tell you is, I felt like when it was needed, you know, that you, to me, that Swift touchdown where you're on the 6-yard line and he's untouched, that's a sign of an elite run game, in my opinion. Now, listen, I get that the yardage production wasn't there. I do think that was, I think a lot of it was how the Rams were, or not the Rams, sorry, how the Packers were playing us. I do think we saw some critical drops in which would have elongated these drives. I think we would have seen a high scoring shootout had we made a couple more plays, like just our receivers catching the football. And we wouldn't have felt like the production was down, because I think eventually the Packers would have kicked it back into too high, and then we would have been able to run the ball more effectively. So I think that was more or less just like the game flow, I think, shifted that way, because we weren't executing in the shots and the quick game, which then made the Packers feel like, oh, we're going to stay in this, which is also why I believe we were able to then generate chunk plays when we're down multiple scores, was because, oh, hey, we haven't done it yet. So they stayed in the defense that had been successful, and then it ended up biting them in the tail late in that game.
That is Tim Jenkins. Tim, thanks for joining us and being a part of some big-time breaking news. That was great.
Thanks, Tim.
What a treat. I appreciate you guys. Y'all are the best. Hopefully one more great week and then another week after that.
There you go.
Don't stop now, boys.
Playoff mentality for Tim Jenkins. If you want to watch his breakdown, all hour 30 of it, go to YouTube. It is always a great watch. All Things QB is where you can find more from Tim Jenkins. And because it's a playoff winning edition of the show, because we gave you bonus calls, and because we gave you bonus meatball machine, which is coming up at 1:45, it's time next for bonus inside the locker room.
Yes, sir. Jalen Johnson, Colston Loveland, and Jaquan Brisker.
Jaquan and Jalen.
Don't put that in my head. I'm going to use those names in the locker room
You
tomorrow.
Put that in our head.
Oh, God, you're right.
Bears. Foot.
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago. Inside the
locker room. It's a bonus edition. When the Bears win a playoff game, you get bonus meatball machine, bonus calls, bonus we're not turning the page, bonus Packer tears, and that goes for bonus inside the locker room as well. I'm Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Let's do it. I always love the opportunity to take you two into the locker room and the rest of our Raheem Harrison Grody audience. Why don't we start with Jalen Johnson.
Why are you saying it with the hard J like
That's
that?
That's right. Jalen. I'm just practicing.
I think they say it's a soft J like yogging.
Okay. Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Let's just check the temperature after the game with Jalen Johnson.
I'm fired the hell up. What? I ain't gonna lie to you. That felt good. It shouldn't have went like that, but definitely glad we can pull it out. I mean, for us, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you do it, you want to win.
What changed defensively in the second half?
Fight. We had to respond. I mean, that was the message really all on the sideline was fight. We had our back against the wall pretty much the whole game. And it was just about fight. We just had to keep going.
Anyone say anything in the locker room just that was really that stood out at halftime?
Nah, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't too much talking really to do. They was blatantly whooping our ass. So we just had to come out in the second half and not say too much and just focus on execution and energy.
What was the coverage beaters?
Yeah, they had some good ones. I know the one that Jaden Reed, I think, scored. That was definitely a tough one on Tremaine to that backside, playing that receiver like that. But a lot of them, honestly, we just got to play a little better. I know on the one with Golden, I gotta make that tackle. We all gotta make that tackle to get him down. But good play by him as well. But it was a lot of things that they did well. But we also didn't have our best game in the first half, especially executed. I mean, we always pre-starting fast. I mean, it's not something that we intentionally come out and not do. But it just seems like it happens to work like that. But we definitely got to get that out of our system and start fast and play a full game like that.
Two things. Number one, I like that Jalen Johnson always swore after the game. Number two, Mark, part of being inside the locker room is painting a picture. Would you like to describe what Jalen Johnson had on while he was talking to the media?
I don't know if I could describe it. What color was it? Like a red suit? Did he have a hat?
Crimson. Crimson Ray?
Crimson, was it strong enough to be crimson?
Yeah, you'd probably be better at describing it than I, actually. I mean, just because I don't really understand what it was. Was
Ray
it like
should
a,
do it. Ray's got
it's
it.
The hat. He had the cowboy looking
oh,
hat.
Oh, yeah, the cowboy hat.
Big,
you're right.
Maroon cowboy right, looking right. hat. And it was massive. It was awesome.
Yeah, so he was looking pretty slick in front of his locker for sure.
We love a man who knows how to yap and accessorize.
Yeah, he's never, as you would say about my friend and your friend Dan Levy, he's never not interesting. I believe you once said that about Dan Levy.
He tells a good story.
Yeah.
Like, he's always got something to say.
In a great voice.
He does have a great voice.
It's like some of our callers today. Like, some of our callers are just really good storytellers. I love that.
My favorite part about inside the locker room is that I feel like I'm going to an old school theater and that you are ushering us to our seats. And then when you hit play behind the glass, I want popcorn so I can listen to what everybody's saying.
Theater of the mind. Yes.
Or it's like the 1940s film strips. AC is inside too, you know, air conditioning.
I love it.
The AC.
I love it. This has been, I mean, I don't know. We might be turning into the premier locker room show.
Well, No.
That's what they call
Cubs
shots
convention
fired.
Is yeah. Saturday and
shots
Friday.
Yeah, you're right. And Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker like nobody else.
Bruce is telling us on Twitter to slow our roll emotionally when it comes to the Nico Horner discussion.
Okay.
Bruce said if they're overwhelmed and get a really overwhelming offer a la you, then they're listening.
That's all I was saying. So Bruce, you and I. Bruce, look at me.
Next thing you know, you're hosting together on Saturday.
No. He's got a great bench. You know, he's Hawes' main guy, but he does not need me. Colston Loveland, ladies and gentlemen, a rising star. And he said, Bears are just never out of it, man.
You guys see it. It's just until the clock strikes zero, we're always in it. And I think that starts from camp, how we practice, how you know the ownership top down, how everyone's aligned, and how you know we're all on the same page with that. So I think that's where it comes from.
The fact that you guys have done it so often this season, like how does that a benefit on a day like today when you're down in a playoff game? But got the confidence that you can do it.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, yeah. Like just like you said, just being there before, knowing how what it feels like is very, very big. And obviously, it's not a fluke. Like we, you know, we're definitely good in those moments, but we got to figure out how to limit those moments. Maybe start a little bit faster.
I mean, it's the forever. It's a question we've been asking literally all season long. So, I mean, why even ask anymore? Why even bring it up?
Because maybe they'll give you a better answer this time.
Maybe Colson's like, I just didn't feel like waking up yet.
Maybe they figured
it
out.
Say that.
Maybe they did. So maybe I should ask those questions tomorrow at Alice Hall.
Well, because here's the thing. Last week when we had this exact same conversation about the problem of starting quicker, Ben Johnson kind of let us know he's searching for answers too, and he hasn't found any. So maybe this time they'll have found something. Or is it just a situation when we actually do start fast, then I'll be able to tell you after the game what we found.
But then would that then preclude a strong finish? Would one effect is butterfly effect? Would
no,
one
they,
affect
they,
the
they've
other?
Been pretty strong at finishing regardless.
I think
regardless.
It's mutually exclusive. The butterfly effect is where you series of events causes the initial event that causes the chain reaction to stop, thereby causing everything else to change.
Wow, Layla. You said that like you were reading it almost, like you just had it fresh in your brain. That was impressive.
I knew the logic thing.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, what is next on the thrilling conclusion inside the locker room?
Yes, the thrilling conclusion, I thought, bring back one more from Jaquan Brisker, and this is a shout out. Everybody listening right now, you're all big Bears fans. This is a huge hug and kiss to you from our guy, Jaquan Brisker.
I mean, it was crazy. The fans, you know, they helped us. They helped us a lot. You see a lot of false starts, especially at the end of the game, a lot of 10-second runoffs. You know, they helped us the whole game. They helped us, you know, keep in the game, and it was huge. You know, that fourth phase, man, it's really serious. I'm telling you, man, the fans, they were crazy here, and we, you know, we love them for that. You know, we love them regardless. Win or lose, they're going to show up, and we appreciate them. So it was huge.
Shout out to Bears fans, 60,000 plus strong out at Soldier Field. You know who you are.
All the fourth phase.
Yeah, I'd never heard it called that before, but I like that.
Like all three phases?
No.
Seattle, fourth phase.
No.
They were 12th man.
12th man. Oh, yeah.
But they stole that from Texas A&M, and then they're like, we didn't steal anything. I'm like, you actually did. There's a trademark. I don't like backing up the Aggies. Kind of like this is just the truth.
The Houday, they stole that. The Bengals from the Saints. It's a whole thing. But I just never had heard this. The fans described it as the fourth phase. Love it. Roll with it. I think they'll be even stronger this week because there'll be less Packers fans in the house because, you know, they're all at home now. And the trip to get here from L.A. with their bandwagon-ish fans, because the Rams don't have that many fans to begin with.
That's true.
No. And they're not clamoring to get to Chicago in January.
Poor I feel Rams. Like half of SoFi Stadium is like influencers and actors who go to the home games. Like the cutaways are incredible. It's like a Dodgers game, right? You're going to see all these famous people, Lakers game. But then you're like, who are the diehard Rams fans? Because they were in St. Louis, and then they abandoned them.
Like, there's old enough people that were like L.A. Rams from way back in the day. Like,
yes, that's true.
That exists. The Chargers are the ones who have it bad.
I was going to say.
The Chargers
like,
have it bad.
The Rams,
the San Diego people hate the Chargers.
Yes.
Hate them.
Right. They're not real happy with their decision to make that little move.
Well, because they thought that they were forced to move, and they basically agreed. 630 just said, Layla just sounded like Frank the Tank in the debates. Scene. Yeah, I blacked out for a minute. What happened?
When?
Old school, you know, where Frank
the
butterfly effect.
Oh, the butterfly effect. Okay. I needed that reference point.
I did love that, though. Jaquan Brisker coined a really good phrase, or at least he used it really well, because involving the fans like that, saying it's the fourth phase is fun.
Fourth phase goes back to Lovey? Okay, I did not know that.
I wasn't sure if Lovey started saying that. I mean, I know I've heard it tons of times, but I'll go with that. Maybe Lovey was the one that he was big because he was a defensive coach, of course.
Dude,
he was like, let's get this crowd into it.
The way Patrick Manley impersonated Lovey in the East Texas accent, which is remarkably different, by the way. Dude, that was when he said Tuesday, I like flashed back to my time there. I was like, ugh. I like zoned out for a second and I was like, core memory unlocked.
Good, better, best. I just like Lovey didn't have that sort of energy, that punctuation, if you will, that Ben Johnson has. That's why it was funny in my head going through that. And the fact that he is Lovey Smith is basically Ned Flanders when it comes to swearing, as in he doesn't. As in, I'm sure the McCaskies loved him for that.
They loved it better if, you know, He beat him more often and won a Super Bowl.
Who, Lovey?
Yeah.
Oh, he came so close.
He did come close.
Came very close. Who knows
how. Didn't have the offensive engine that this team has, did he?
I will say this. I have always been on record as saying 9 years, Lovey Smith had every single opportunity. He was given a great opportunity with the Bears. 9 years was enough. There was Lovey fatigue at the end. But if he had won that Super Bowl, then you would have given him another year. Grody, if it had gotten to that point.
Did you know about the fourth phase?
Yeah, I've heard of the fourth phase before. Yeah,
he'd heard
tons of times. Yeah, I didn't.
I think he was surprised that we didn't know.
Right. Yeah, I was a little surprised that I thought you were kidding. Actually, when you said I haven't heard of that, I thought maybe you're just screwing with me. Sometimes you
I
do
was
that.
Not.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, sometimes
with you
do that. Yeah.
I would make fun of you.
Yeah, in a career. Yes, you have in your career. You have done that.
815 is like the fourth phase has been around for 20 years. How have you guys not heard of it? Well, I don't know if you know this, but the Bears crediting the crowd in a playoff situation hasn't really happened recently. That's... Not that I'm saying it's exclusive to the playoffs and all.
But Bears won a playoff game. Everybody's new to this.
This isn't exactly like something where we've all been here before for a while, because you know it's been around 15 years, the gap between playoff wins. So let's slow our roll here, okay? It's not like I got out of a plane like yesterday. I've been here for 10 years. You know what most of that was? Bad professional football. I rest my case.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, 10 years ago. So you got here in, 2015. Oof.
Well, the fun part was that win in Green Bay on the Brett Favre night. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting Danny Trevathan was cool for a second.
Wait, Brett Favre?
What was their biggest win between...
Remember when they honored Brett Favre?
Oh, yeah. Honoring Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun to spoil that.
Yeah, that was...
Grody, historian on this show anyway. What was their biggest win between playoff wins, the Bears? What would you say their biggest
win? Regular season win or just win?
It would have to be a regular season win, yes.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe the one that I was talking about. So, since 2010, basically.
Yeah.
John Fox did have a win at Green Bay. I remember that being a really big deal during the John Fox era. That was a huge win. The one that I was talking about with Allen Robinson,
right.
The 15-6 win, that might have been it, because that was a signature win in obviously what turned out to be a signature year. So I will go with that win in 2018 under the lights, freezing cold against the Rams when the Bears were good, but everybody thought they needed to beat the Rams to really put the Bears on the map. So I will go with that one. I'd be interested to hear what other people think, though.
Yeah, everybody's talking about fourth phase now. You want to bring it back?
What, fourth phase?
Yeah. I feel like they want to bring it back.
I don't think it went away.
I just think it hasn't. It's still there.
It just hasn't been, like you said, Layla, when you go 15 years without a playoff win, doesn't get brought up a lot. Yeah, go back to the regular season finale last year. And what the fourth phase looked like in that game.
Yeah, there's been
the
a lot of...
The fourth phase was there for that Seahawks game.
There's been a lot of Bears players this year, post-game after that win over the Packers, that acknowledged the presence of the fans and how they impacted the game. So there's the fourth phase right there.
It's the phase, and it's the fourth.
Yeah. So, well, that's fun.
May the fourth phase be with you.
Yes, and for everybody offended, I don't know what to tell you. You can say I don't know sports and lie about other stuff I say, so congratulations.
Well, now you guys know there's a fourth phase. It's okay.
Is the fifth phase concessions? I like concessions.
Fifth phase is that drunk guy.
Fifth phase yourself. Yeah, that's a good call. Coming up next here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, it is time for a bonus edition of the meatball machine. We'll do it next.
Hey guys, check out this
leftover
meatball machine.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The Bears won a playoff game, and so do you. You win an extra helping of meatballs. How many do we have today, Tyler?
We have 9 remaining from yesterday. 2 from still in the middle part of the game when looked like the sky was falling, and then the rest of it is just post-game reactions. So let's start off with our guy Gunther.
Just as I feared, the defense is playing like oh man, this is going to be a long second half. By the way, Danny Parkin should never be allowed back into the stadium.
This is for Raheem Harris and Grody. Crazy take here from the Riverton Loon. Trade Williams for a haul in the offseason. Let Bajent run this offense correctly.
No
more incomplete passes. Nothing but touchdowns. The Bajency has been reactivated.
Loon was correct.
I'm sure this tape will age well.
So that was the rest of our in-game.
He said he was alone, right? Yeah, that. Yeah.
And then he said, "I'm sure this take will age well."
So now we go to Riverton.
Now we go to post-game.
Okay, I take back what I said. Danny Parkins is welcome back to the game. What an unbelievable team. Never give up. Never surrender.
That's right, sir. That's right.
Ow! How did we win this? How did we win this? I called earlier and acted a fool because it was a foolish thing. And we won this game? Taylor, Marshall, Grody, 15 years later, we win one. Bears.
Oh my God. The Bears did it. I apologize for whatever I said at halftime. Who cares? Let's forget it. The Bears are back. Cook the Packers. Caleb Williams is the man. The GOAT. I don't know. Bear down, baby!
Okay, I left a voice message in the first quarter. And I just really wanted to... Is there a way I can... I just want to delete it because... The Bears, I knew this team would let me down. I shouldn't have turned on them like that. I feel terrible. But yeah, please erase it. And the Bears, going to Super Bowl.
Please erase it.
Bear down, Bears.
I don't know if I'm going to take back the ban on Danny Parkins because my heart can't take what just happened, but let's go.
It feels so good that we actually kicked their asses tonight. For once, we're going home, sleeping restfully about next week and the continued season of the Bears. And everybody in the state of Wisconsin is having an existential crisis about their future. Bear down.
Roses are red and violets are blue. These guys are gonna frickin' kill me. Go Bears.
Man.
I like the guy who's like, no, I don't think Danny should go to any more games still. Like, there was so much of that going on Twitter. People, like, how many replies, guys, did we get to just our request for the meatball machine? Just on Twitter where people were like, Danny is never allowed back. Somebody blamed the double doink by Ole Miss on Danny. That wasn't even the same game.
I get it.
I like the meatball guy who said, we won this game? I mean, that's the way everybody was walking out, like, did they win that game? Did that really happen in a career?
Like we all said, it sunk in sometime within the last 12 hours.
And top texter, has anybody taken Bears away from Mark Grody for picking the Packers?
They're on you on that.
Well, I did. I took, just to make everybody happy, I took 3 Bears away from myself. So now I only have 4,159 Bears. Remember, I was born with Bears. I'm privileged. I was born with my Bears.
You are privileged.
Right. I am a privileged person. I was born with Bears, and you can't, like, I can suspend myself, but I have so many Bears.
Suspend.
And this
myself.
Is why I've been trying to give back. When I started this bit, I want to give back Bears. So that's why I do the
He's
Bear
got a
scale.
Bear savior complex.
But
I get
yes,
it.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Texter.
I got Bears be with you.
We also have some hot goss here from 414, a.k.a. Wisconsin area code. Just to point out that guy's not wrong about everyone in Wisconsin having an existential crisis. I cannot get enough of Milwaukee sports radio right now. What? But there's all these people replying to us on social media being like, I don't have a problem with this. Like, good luck with your history of your team. And then people are like, well, doesn't that suck then that you lost to this team? I mean, I'm cool. I'm totally, like, you can just see people. Well, if you don't care, then why are you finding every possible tweet that's in existence to reply to? Is that you not caring? You totally don't miss your ex-girlfriend. I believe you.
Well, they can't do the play-by-play on Twitch anymore, so that's what they're doing now.
Mutual breakups.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Are you a local business owner or employee, by the way? How would you like to have your commercial aired during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score?
Bears.
You know who's closer to Super Bowl 60?
Bears.
Bears.
Indeed. What an opportunity this could be. Here's your chance. We've brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. The deadline to enter is this Sunday. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. Coming up next, it's a special edition of the afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes. Anthony Heron is in for Matt. So we'll transition with Lawrence and Anthony next.